There are earthquakes on the West Coast and sometimes here in the East, too, as we learned last week. Tornadoes in the Midwest, hurricanes like the one that hit us this past weekend on the East Coast and, of course, in the Gulf. There are mountain states with wildfires. When disaster inevitably comes to your area, it's always good to be prepared and have an emergency kit. But what do you include? The Red Cross says you need to have water and non-perishable foods and flashlights and batteries and a first aid kit and medicine and a weather radio and sanitation and personal hygiene items and a multi-purpose tool. And actually, the list goes on for another good full page. But everyone has different needs and different items that they think are important during an emergency. So tell us, what is in your emergency kit and why? Our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. If you're like PM Klein, who says, what disaster kit? I'm one of the many unprepared, just being honest. Or Chad in Elkhart, Indiana, who says, 6 cans of dog food for my dachshund. Tell us what is in your disaster preparedness kit. talk@npr.org is the email address. Thanks to everyone who wants to participate here. Let's go to Madeline in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello. I'm happy that you accepted my call. Nevertheless, in my kit, and since I'm single, I don't have to have all the things that everybody else does, but I have water, granola bars, dried fruit, a rolled sleeping bag, one of those cranked radios, you know, that
has right.
light on it, that you can have your cell phone charged with. I have paper towels, a first aid kit, and a Red Cross pocket knife, as well as some TP.
Why paper towels?
Because I like to wipe my face.
Okay, good to know. And Madeline, what do you think is the disaster you might face in Fort Wayne, Indiana? Is it tornadoes there largely?
Well, they've had ice storms here. They have had floods. You never know what will happen. And a good Girl Scout is always prepared.
Words to live by. Thank you, Madeline. This is Todd in Oregon City, Oregon. Todd, what's in your disaster preparedness kit?
Well, a water purifying kit, like a backpacking kit, because water is the most important thing you could ever have. And aside from dry food and things like that, is entertainment for your kids.
Oh, yeah.
That is not electronic, because the most important thing is keeping things mellow and having your kids subdued while you can deal with all the other things you have to deal with.
So what sort of entertainment do you have?
Blocks, puzzles, crayons, things that you normally have, but make sure it's not electronic. If the power goes out, that you can still have a good time with your kids. And aside from all their other things, if they're happy and smiling, it makes everything else easier to deal with.
Well, you know, Todd, that brings up a point, because we're often told, make sure you check your disaster kit every once in a while, make sure the food hasn't expired and that sort of thing. But you should also check and make sure your kids haven't aged out of the blocks, right? I mean, imagine your next disaster is when your kids are 15 and it's crayons in there.
Sure. Well, that all comes back to just, that's normal taking care of your kids, I think. But if you're going to stay at home in a disaster, you've probably got a lot of the things that you need anyway, as far as, you know, flashlights and things like that. But keeping a somewhat normal environment for your kids could make everything far easier. Does that make sense?
It does. Todd, thanks for calling in. And actually, I should say that the Red Cross differentiates between what you should keep in your house in case you're staying home and what you should have for your evacuation. For instance, you can't carry gallons and gallons of water with you if you're evacuating, but you could store gallons of water in your home. And the Red Cross recommendation actually is 1 gallon per person per day, a 2-week supply for home, and for food, a 3-day supply for evacuation and a 2-week supply for home. And of course, non-perishable and easy to prepare food is the best. In fact, we have an email from Keith in Gainesville, Florida, who says he keeps packaged meats with a tear open top, chicken, tuna, and et cetera. Also a hand pump water filter, like used in backpacking, amateur radio, multi-purpose soap, and he says that, you know, he's got the practical stuff that's on everybody's list as well. We also hear from David in Sacramento, who says, in addition to the usual, I include a complete set of spare keys, house, cars, safe, etc., spare identification, even at extra cost to the DMV. Another good idea is proof of home car ownership. It's so important to be able to prove where you live, i.e. that you are a resident of an affected neighborhood. Birth certificate copies are not a bad idea, too. Emily in Farmington Hills, Michigan says, we have stockpiled food, hygiene, medication, first aid, paper and plastic products, fuels and self-sufficiency supplies. We would be able to quarantine for months at home or set up a hotel room or campsite quickly and efficiently. We have also taken first aid and disaster preparedness courses and have a few disaster preparedness supplies in order to be helpful in a community crisis. So if you're in Farmington Hills, Michigan, Emily sounds like a pretty good friend to have in a disaster. We are talking about what is in your preparedness kit. You can call us at 800-989-8255. Or send us email, talk@npr.org. You can also go to the website, npr.org, and click on Talk of the Nation. Tony in Reno, Nevada is on the line. Tony, what's in your preparedness kit?
Well, kind of all of the above. We also keep, and it's a tiny bit expensive, but we keep and get rid of, when it's too old, Cipro, in case we have bad guys after us. And also, we keep a card of places to meet if we are actually not at home when something happens and we need to get in touch with each other. And I just wanted to say this, I remember when I was a child in San Francisco during the Alaskan earthquake, it was amazing that half of the city turned out at the Ocean Beach in order to watch the tsunami that was supposed to be coming in. So in case we think the behavior was a little strange this time around, it always has been that way.
Tony, thank you for your call. Buck says it's very brief, his list of what's in his disaster preparedness kit, and only for a disaster of epic proportions. Passports, $1,000, and 2 open date tickets to Tahiti. Buck, another good friend in a disaster. Thomas says, first and foremost, my wife and I have hard hats. Why, you ask? We live on a fault line in the San Francisco Bay Area. Rock in Payson, Arizona joins us on the line now. Rock, what is in your disaster kit?
3 very simple things. 22 pistol and shells, fishing line and a hook, and salt.
Okay. Is the pistol for self-defense or for hunting?
Both.
And the fishing line?
Well, you got to have line to catch fish.
Don't you live in the desert?
No, in Payson, Arizona, we're 5,000 feet in the middle of the forest.
Oh, okay.
And the salt, if you don't have salt, you'll die. You know, in some places they exchange gold for salt, or they used to in Africa. So it's a very, very, very definite commodity. You've got to have it.
Plus, you know, whatever game or fish you come up with would taste a whole lot better with it.
Well, I figured out that after a month, if it's really a bad catastrophe, after a month, everybody's going to be out of everything. And if you don't have the capability of going out and hunting or fishing, you know, you're going to be dead.
And what sort of emergency are you preparing for in Payson?
Well, you know, if we had a major earthquake or a major disaster, say in Phoenix, which is 90 miles south of us, that would probably disable all the major highways. And so after a while, after a week or two, we wouldn't be getting any medicine. We wouldn't be getting any drugs. We wouldn't be getting any food up here. So it would be a catastrophic emergency. But if you, what's going to happen first? People that need medicines, whether refrigerated and all that, they're history. People that can't go out and actually secure food for themselves, they're going to try to steal it from other people or take it. So if you don't have those 3 basic commodities, you know, your chances of living are not very good.
Rock, thanks for your call. Let's hear what Heidi in Molokai, Hawaii is stockpiling in her disaster kit. Heidi, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. What's in your kit?
I have a few very sharp knives and knife sharpening tools. I have water bottles and lots of rope and cordage and backpacks. We have hiking shoes. We don't focus on food because we're really good at hunting and different things, and water is more important than food.
And what's the knife for? Oh, we've lost Heidi. Perhaps she has gone into the woods. Let's hear from Brian in Kansas City. Brian, what's in your disaster preparedness kit?
Yeah, I'm going to say the King James Bible and a shotgun.
Why the King James as opposed to another version?
No reason in particular, just tradition.
The poetry of it, good to have in a disaster?
Yeah. In my scenario, this is the zombie apocalypse. So, thus the shotgun.
Right. Well, you're not alone, actually. We have an email from Rex who says his disaster kit includes a baseball bat in case of a zombie outbreak. So you two at least will be prepared.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. My grandmother's disaster preparedness kit, it must be said, involved some canned goods and some Sterno, which either was for cooking the canned goods or maybe for a chafing dish emergency, and a statue of the Virgin Mary. So, you have to take with you what it is you think you're going to need. Drew in Charlotte, North Carolina joins us now. Drew, what's in your kit?
Well, everyone's talking about water, but after drinking water for so long, you're going to get tired. So we have Kool-Aid packets. They are so light, easy to carry, and you got to flavor all the water that you're drinking. And also the game Pass the Pigs. I'd recommend it to anybody. It's two pigs, and they have a spot on each side. It's kind of like a dice game, but it's a lot more fun because the dice are pigs.
Well, everything's more fun when it's pigs, right?
Absolutely.
Now, do you have a family consensus on Kool-Aid flavors, or is that going to be a fight?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm just going to – I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, get the variety pack.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and they're so light, you can carry them anywhere. The thing is, you have to get the mix. You can't just get the packets because otherwise you got to carry sugar, and sugar's pretty heavy. So,
Drew, thanks for your call. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We are talking about what is in your disaster preparedness kit, regardless of the disaster. Let's hear from Jennifer in Sacramento. Jennifer, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have four very small children, and so we have a backpack.
Are they in your kit?
I'm sorry? Yeah. In our kit? No. not children in the kit. No, but we carry a lot of candy and gum, things that would help keep our kids maybe occupied during a disaster, and we just vacuum pack them and so that they're good for in floods and things like that.
That was clever. Do you still have anyone in diapers?
Yes, I do. I have lots of diapers, again, vacuum sealed to take up less space.
Yeah, they're light, but they are bulky.
Yes, they are.
And Jennifer, what do you think is your most likely disaster in Sacramento?
In Sacramento, I think we worry more about floods. We're right by the river. And so that's everything is vacuum packed and in plastic baggies. We have lots of ponchos and heating element things. So we worry more about floods.
Thank you for your call. I hope you stay dry. Let's hear from Gary in Earhart, South Carolina. Welcome to Talk the Nation, Gary.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What's in your disaster kit?
I'm ex-military, so mine is you have some excellent suggestions. My suggestion when you're deciding what to pack, let's say it's an external survival kit or, you know, not in the house. But these items are also useful in the house. But I would start off with a waterless hand cleaner like Gojo, the mechanics use. You're familiar with that?
I'm not, but it sounds like a really useful item.
It comes in a plastic container about 4 inches wide, about 3 inches high. You buy it anywhere from 79 cents to a buck and a half. A pair of EMT snips like the EMTs use to cut bandages with. That'll cut through a nickel, much less anything else you need to cut. Within reason. I get a large chest bandage, military. That way, if you have a chest wound, you can stop the hemorrhaging, et cetera, from there. And three or four regular bandages. That way, if you have a abrasion or something bleeding in your arm or your leg, you put one bandage on there, then you put another one on there and tie it tight. That's called a compression bandage. And that'll stop your bleeding if you're, like, after a tornado or a hurricane, you're in the house, nobody to help you. Those are essential. I'd get a small thing of shop towels. You can buy them $3 or $4. Like mechanics use in the garages. Those are clean. You can clean yourself. You can wipe off your hands after you've used your hand cleaner, et cetera. I'd get a small tool kit with the obvious normal stuff. I would also get three rolls of surgical tape. One of them wide or too narrow, the kind that you can tear off. You know what I'm talking about? You just tear them. You don't have to cut them.
Right.
And a packet of gauze. And last but not least, in case you're away from the house when you're using all this, get your compass. You can buy them $20-$30. A lensatic. That's the kind that has two little parts that flip up, and you can sight to it on a distant objective. You never know when you might need a compass. So those are the things I would have as starters, in addition to whatever else you want to put. But what you want to do is to envision where you're going to be likely to need this. What are you going to be likely to need to keep up your morale, to keep you operating?
Yeah, Gary, you are thoroughly prepared. I'm impressed. Jennifer in New York City says, I have a milk crate with a lantern and oil, safety matches, D and cell batteries, flashlights, emergency candles, a crank radio, and an adapter I can use to charge a cell phone. Not bad, eh? Well, Jennifer, I didn't think that was bad until I heard Gary ready for triage in the middle of his living room if he gets into a disaster. Audrey in Denver says, just the basics so I can take it to an evacuation, water bottles, batteries, a radio to listen to NPR. Thank you for that, Audrey. Protein bars, Band-Aids, and of course, a few old issues of Cosmo. I also keep two thick coats in my car in the winter in case of an emergency or accident. MJ in San Francisco says, all of what's been mentioned and cash. ATMs won't be easily accessible and will be out of money. Cash is king in a disaster. And finally, we have Holly in Denver, who says, everyone has great items in their disaster pack, but no one has listed chocolate. You've got to have chocolate with your water. Thanks to everyone who called in and wrote with your ideas. I'm sorry we didn't have time to get to all of them. Tomorrow, what it is like to go to war. Neil Conan will be back for that conversation. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington.